Okay, it's 5:00. We'll call the meeting to order. Roll call.
Corey Davenport.
Here.
Judy Schoen.
Here.
Karen Ashford.
Here.
Brad Brandon.
Here.
James Atkins. Yes.
Has everybody read the minutes?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve them as written.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion and second. All in favor? Let's say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, then we have our Child Advocacy Center. Y'all want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Amanda Hammond. I'm the coordinator, the children's coordinator, the program coordinator here in Cannon County. So all things Child Advocacy Center in Cannon County, is through me. So I work for our Drug Endangered Children's Program, and I help facilitate our forensic interviews that happen in our office, our Child and Family Protective, or it's CHOP, I'm sorry, I have to remember the acronym, the CIPIT team, which is Child Protective Investigative Team meetings that occur between the DA, the law enforcement, and the community, and DCS for all the children that are in our county that have unfortunately been alleged victims of child sexual abuse or severe physical abuse. So I'm not normally a public speaker, like that's not my forte, I'm a social worker, so I'm much better one-on-one. But a little bit about what we do in our agency, I provide a free service to families. We do have a couple of handouts that we'd like to give you just so you kind of have more information than what I could probably say. One of the things we're going to give you is something we call the program results. So every family that I come in contact with, we survey them. We do that for our federal funding, but also just so we know how our program is doing in the community. And so this kind of gives you an oversight of like our goals of working with families. Like we want them to be educated on where to find resources and how to get help. So this program results kind of goes through the things that we work with on a specific basis and kind of how it's received in the community. We are 100% on all of our goals. That is my goal. Every family I meet, I try to just make them feel comfortable, make sure that they don't need anything, always follow up and help them. So probably saying a whole lot. But the three main things that we do: Drug Endangered Children free program for families that have any type of substance abuse, which we know is an issue. I'm working with non-offending parents to kind of help prevent the children from falling into that cycle. So education, resources, supporting the family. And then we also do forensic interviews in conjunction with Department of Children's Services when we have children who are unfortunately sexually abused or allegedly. We have a safe space in our office that they can come that's child-friendly to get those interviews so the child is not re-traumatized, tell them the story over and over again. And that's, again, a free thing that we do. It's grant-funded. And then we have something called our Darkness to Light Community Education Program where we do a 1 or 2 hour video-based discussion. We have a facilitator who facilitates that. That goes through the 5 steps of preventing child sexual abuse. So I believe today we're just here, you know, to ask for support from Cannon County. I have loved working in Cannon County. I love every person I've met. I feel like everybody's so friendly. One of my favorite things about working here is the collaboration between agencies like the court and CASA, and how well everybody works together for the families and people in Cannon County. So, I don't know if you're getting into anything or you want me to do it. I was going to say specifically, the money that we've asked for would be allocated for training manuals for our Darkness to Light, because those booklets do have a cost, but we don't charge the community to take the training. So we try to get the cost covered so that parents and caregivers and community members can take that training for free. And then also for travel expenses, because I'm traveling out to see families, and so that would just allow for reimbursement. So,
on an average, how many families do you serve?
I probably have about 30 right now that I could just like go through my head on my Drug Endangered program. which would be families that I see continually. And I could see them for like a month or so, not see them for a month, and they could call back and say, you know, I thought we were good, but we really need some help. So I try to keep that door open so that I'm always that support person. And then as far as through DCS, every child who has a referral for sexual abuse or severe physical abuse comes through the CAC, either through our CIPIT, the Child Protective Investigative Team, where we just discuss the case with law enforcement and the DA, or we see them for an interview. So that can vary, and I would say maybe in total between the two programs, last year we had around 300, between 300 and 400 children that we touched in some kind of way. And of course, that's, I guess I could say family. So anybody in the family, non-offending, of course, we can't work with alleged perpetrators or people that are actively on drugs, even though we do work with them to give them resources so that they can become recovered.
So your grant money doesn't cover these books?
Well, I'm not the development person, or this is our grant writer right here, so...
So we actually do have a partial grant through the Child Advocacy Centers of Tennessee, and they have funded, we have 1,500 books total for our whole program, and they funded 900 of those books. So we are, you know, accepting requests or funding, excuse me, for the remaining books in both English and Spanish to reach as many community members as we possibly can. So, and we're also in the process of hiring a full-time community education
coordinator. So there'll be a dedicated person here in Cannon alongside me that will do the educational piece. So that will be responsible for, you know, getting community interested in those trainings and going to daycares, or, you know, contacting the school system and seeing where we can fit in churches to do those trainings for free for people. So we hope to really increase that, so that everybody is aware of those 5 steps to preventing child sex abuse.
And they're asking for 1,000.
That's what I was. That was one of the questions I was going to ask. I do have a question. What I need an email address.
Mine is A. Hammond, HAMMOND, at Cannon, CAC. Dot org.
CANNON.
CAC.org, that's right.
CAC.org?
Yes, sir.
And what's yours?
Mine would be A-M-C-M-U-R-T-R-Y.
Hold on a minute. A-M-C-M-U-R.
T-R-Y.
T-R-Y.
At CACRutherford.org.
Okay.
Does DCS, do they offer any of these same programs? I used to work for Department of Human Services, but back in the 70s, I know they probably have changed a lot since then.
They do not offer the Darkness to Light. However, they do have their staff go through the Darkness to Light training, so we kind of do help them with that piece. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they do offer, they'll go out and meet families on the front end, and then they have a time frame that they work with families. Mm-hmm. So after 30, 60, 90 days, and they need to close their case because for whatever reason, they will refer their families to me. So I get a lot of families because DCS has become involved on the front end. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of stay and meet the family and kind of stay there and help them become stable, you know.
Does it vary the time period that you work with a family?
Well, you know, it could be short, and it could be like maybe they're a short-term crisis and it doesn't take very long to resolve the issue. They just maybe need some counseling referrals, mm-hmm. or help, you know, short-term. Or it could be, like I said, somebody could work with me for 3 months, not talk to me, and then call me back, and mm-hmm. I'm working with them again. So it really varies. There's no limit to how long I can work with somebody, and it's free, and it's voluntary. So we definitely will not turn away anybody that needs help.
And I apologize to both of you, but I do not remember your names.
Amanda Hammond.
Aaron McMurtry, is A-E-R-Y-N.
A-E-R-Y-N.
M-C-M-U-R-T-R-Y.
Is there a timeliness aspect to the request? You know, or fiscal year starts July 1, so we're kind of in the middle of budgeting for next year, but is that money that you guys like need right now?
I don't believe we are able to, because our fiscal year also starts on July 1st, we're not able to officially hire our second person for Canyon County until then, so that would be probably about the appropriate time frame.
Yeah.
All right, and you do most of the grant, right?
Yes.
Okay, I got you.
Brent, you have any questions?
I do not. I'm good. Appreciate what y'all do.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Very much needed.
Thank you, and thank you for bearing with me while I try to explain.
Oh, good job. Good job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's okay if it's just...
Yes.
That's what I want to hear, everything else. Yes.
Okay. Discuss unallocated government. The money for purchase of a fire truck.
So I think you got an email about the $68,000 we have in the governor's money and the Observatory and the capital projects fund that's set aside for a fire truck. And then I talked to Michael, and they may be able to use $3,000 or $4,000 out of their budget if need be. So when I talked to him yesterday, he wanted to try to find two trucks for $50,000, but he said those are really hard to find. So I'm not sure exactly what.
So he's looking in the 50s range.
The one they had Thursday night of the meeting was $54,000.
Yeah, so.
But it's gone.
Oh, okay.
It was gone that morning, wasn't it?
The 45,000 was gone that morning. Michael had found another.
The one he was interested in was gone that morning, correct?
The 45,000 one was. The 54,000.
So it was prior to our commissioner's meeting, is what I'm saying?
No. There was two things. One, he had one that was $45,000, and then he had one that was $54,000 that he had available on that Friday after the meeting. But it's gone now. I talked to him yesterday.
The word that was conveyed to me that night was the one he was interested in was gone that morning.
That's correct. Me and you were standing there together when he talked to us, and that was the $45,000. The $54,000 one was gone the Friday after the meeting. I talked to him last night.
Yeah, there was no conversation about
that. Okay. We literally had pictures last Monday.
The thing is, these trucks in that range do go pretty quickly. And he just, whenever we give him the amount of money that he can spend, then he'll start looking for trucks when he knows he can buy them.
Okay.
So that's all he can do. Because they go quick.
It's going to cost us more now.
Well, do y'all want to send this back to the commission in May?
How do you know it's going to cost us more? I mean,
because the $54,000 one's gone.
It's gone, but who's to say we'll find it?
Well, I mean, he could, but the odds of that are very low, considering that he found that one.
Well, the odds of finding one was low on finding that, I'd say, so he probably found it.
Well, I talked to him yesterday, and his words, and you're welcome to call him because he's out in your area, he said no. I mean, feel free to call him. It's Michael George.
I was going to say, Underhill's the one that's looking.
Well, Michael was the one that was looking, too.
He's the chief.
I get it, right. But they were talking together.
Yes.
So I talked to Michael Underhill last Wednesday when I asked Diane to put this on the agenda for this coming Tuesday. And I talked to him again this morning. Michael said that whatever money he got, you know, it was the 101, that he was going to try to get two trucks. There is a protocol, and Karen, you can correct if I'm wrong. So there is a tanker at Moortown, correct?
There
the
is.
County fire tanker?
Yes.
If a fire comes out at Moortown, hopefully it doesn't, three surrounding
yes.
closest, they're also dispatched.
Well, that station.
That station into others.
Right.
So.
And if they're needed, we can always page another.
Right. That's protocol.
Right.
Confirmed structure fire is the main department.
Right.
And then the two surrounding departments.
And so I think we're okay. I mean, I know it's not the perfect situation, but we need to get, you know, a truck over there. But we do have coverage for Moortown. He did say that he thought, you know, 55, 56,000 He could probably find some. He was talking to a guy today, supposed to call him back, and he was going to call me back, and I hadn't heard back from him. So I don't know, Chase or Casey.
Casey. We've bought from him before.
The one out of Texas.
No, no, I don't think so.
But anyway, that's what I got from other people. We do need to get a truck, but we're making do.
And we need to decide what we're going to do with that other truck.
Well, he wants to see, since the county bought that, if we can trade that in on another truck.
Okay.
And he said Casey would, he gives trade-ins.
I thought he told me
that. And does a lot of repairs.
I thought he...
Casey refurbishes.
Was it Moortown or Midway that bought their truck?
Midway bought theirs. I think they're trying to get that one running so Moortown can use it, but it's... They're going to finally want to sell that one too. It's not a great truck right now.
It's an 89 truck.
Yeah.
And we've had problems since we've got it.
And that's what I know from Kiva.
And that's true.
So we're going to give them the 68 and the 33. Is that what we're...
Can I say something about these trucks?
Yes.
And I know for a fact, because I'm the one helping Michael look for trucks. When you find these trucks that are $40,000, that's very rare. Most fire trucks, I'm not talking something brand new, I'm talking early 2000 models, are upwards to $100,000. Mm-hmm. So when you are finding these $40,000, $50,000 trucks, they're not going to last long, and there's not many out there.
But we're not finding them, Michael is.
Do what?
We're only giving them the money. Michael's the one finding the trucks.
I understand, but I mean, I just want you to know that you just can't.
Yeah, we're buying
anywhere for $40,000.
We're buying 20-year-old trucks almost every time.
You find those.
That's what I'm saying. It's not scarce.
At 101,000, he's shooting for two. He doesn't know if he can.
Well, we've
pull
been
that
fortunate
off
the last couple of years.
Well,
Rutherford to get their old trucks, and they've cut us a real good deal.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, they're not in the position to sell any trucks right now.
They're expanding, aren't they?
Yeah.
They expanded a new fire hall.
They're building a new fire station.
I think they were going to take the two that they would have probably sold us and put them in those and then buy some more.
Yep.
But a new truck, I think Tim said it was around $500,000.
No, new truck? Starting about $500,000.
And what we're buying's in the $40,000 to $60,000 range, so you can understand how. That's why we're buying everything that's 14, 15 years old already. We got no choice.
It's just governor's. I'll be honest, I wish we could find some 14, 20 that we could afford.
That's the other thing.
I mean, we're buying 20 year old trucks.
The one Thursday night was 2005 model, and it had a new engine that had been rebuilt. Is that correct?
Yeah. We're pushing out 30-year-old trucks, 35-year-old trucks, getting 20-year-old trucks. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're nowhere near what we need to be, and probably be a long time before we'll ever get,
right,
if we ever get to see that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
I talked with Diane and Neil. I know that I've seen at least twice in Warren County's paper where they've been able, through grants, to get brand new fire trucks. Twice. One just recently. And I made some inquiries into it. Don't have no thing to answer how in the world they're getting them. We're not even on radar screen. But it's possible, don't know it, that due to our outstanding loans with the city, it has prohibited us possibly from applying for those grants through which they're getting them, and we are not elsewhere.
That's CDBG?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's how we got one tanker.
That's how we got the
one that's Moortown.
The one in Moortown. And I believe that is because we were looking at a grant, because we're here in the next, real soon, we're going to have to replace airbags.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be completely.
So that's what we're holding off for that.
Yeah, we're trying not to do the CDBG for that reason.
I mean, you're talking $300,000 for airbags. And once these airbags, I'm the fire chief of Westside. And I get a fire in my district, and them air packs are out of date, I cannot send nobody in that house. I don't care who's in the house. Because I send somebody in there and a pack fails, a firefighter dies.
Then you're on the hook.
This county's in a lot of trouble.
Okay, we'll let Ronnie finish.
Yeah, and again, I don't have answers, but I just know we, as a county, in my opinion, somehow we're missing something that's valuable on the radar that we don't have either the intellect or the ability or knowledge or support or grant writers or something for us to be a player in these things. And I'll just add on that. I got a dig up a jail grant. $600,000 fell in the sky and hit them in the head. And I guarantee you their jail is 1,000% better than one we got. I'm just blown away at a county that economically is no comparison to our county. And the money is, you know, they're struggling figuring out how to spend the money.
There might be some more grants that I don't know about for fire trucks, but that CDBG is one of them, and we did get one with that tanker we got with that grant, but we're holding off on to get these air packs with the next available.
I wonder if
and I think it'll be next year before we can apply.
Do you think their ISO rating may have something to do with that, maybe? Because, I mean, we're what, 9?
I don't think it has anything to do with the ISO rating. Our ISO rating is not going to get better until we're...
It's right. It's a 9, is it correct?
It's a 9
out of 10. 10 being the
I don't think the ISO has anything to do with the grant. Go ahead, Randy.
Kind of touching on what Ronnie was talking about, I think we are, this county, my opinion, we're at a point now where we need a full-time grant writer. Someone who can look up and know about these grants, and know how to fill out the proper forms, how to fill the forms out properly. And it's something I really think, I don't know if it would start with this board or Ms. Hickman in this board or commission Ms. Hickman in this board, but I feel it's something that we strongly need to look at because with the $600,000, you don't know. And if you don't have anybody looking, designated to look for these things, you're going to miss them. I don't know. It's just my opinion.
I agree with that. Neil, don't we have a... We use somebody from time
somebody
to time?
Somebody in the Upper Cumberland does some of
us. Amanda?
Amanda. Yeah, but she's not, like, looking for us, like, you know.
A designated person.
She's not looking for grants. She just writes some if there's...
Right, she covers... She has clients all over, you know, Upper Cumberland.
Right.
But I guess my question is could we contract her to be our...
No, we would want someone full-time.
Full-time, okay.
In order for us to be effective with that person, I think.
And some grants will pay the grant writer, right? But
yes.
Not all of them do, right?
I think it's...
All right, back to this fire truck.
Well, I make a motion to give them the $68,000 out of the governor's grant plus the $33,000 they got in there and allow Michael to... go forth and do the voodoo that he does so well.
Do I get a second on this?
I'll second.
Okay, we got a motion of second.
Or we're sending
that,
back, actually sending that
of,
to the commission.
Yes, that's a total of 101,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to send this, take this to the commission in May.
And that's from the first governor's grant money, correct?
Right.
And will that wrap that up?
Well, we haven't spent it all, but that's just what hasn't been allocated for
me. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay.
So, Neil, call the roll.
Karen Ashford.
Yes.
Judy Schoen.
Yes.
Brett Brandon.
Yes.
Corey Davenport.
Yes.
Then the next is review general funds.
Okay, so I'm just going to go through the general fund and Neil and I need to go to the school board meeting tonight, so I'll go through it. If you have any questions, just stop me.
Please.
I have to go like some handouts there to get you with, to go with it. But
is this the regular school board or workshop?
It's their workshop.
And it's not the Zoom, right?
I don't think so.
It is.
It is going to be on Zoom?
Okay.
Randy does have to make every meeting we have covered.
So they haven't been doing all the workshops on Zoom.
Yeah, well, the budget workshops aren't on Zoom, but I guess their regular meeting workshops are.
It should be.
Yeah, I bet you're right. Okay, so on the first page, instead of a three column, I actually have recommended that I do it this way. and I think this is actually works good. So it gives you, the first column is your 2021 audited numbers. The second column is the 2021-22 approved budget. The third column is any amendments that have been done through the year. Then the next column is where we estimate what we're going to spend through 2022, or June 2022. The next one is the proposed 22-23 budget. And then the last column is an increase or a decrease from the approved 21-22. Does that make sense?
This is if you give everybody everything they ask for.
Well, yes.
No, this, this
plus, Neil and I have kind of gone through it and made a few little changes, but this is not necessarily all of their requests.
The $391,562 is not.
What are you looking at?
First
column. Oh, that's an increase in
that's
county
revenues.
Taxes from
okay.
this current year to next year. So I was going to tell you on the property tax, so we went back and looked at the last 3 years, and then we've estimated this year what we think we're going to bring in. And it's about an average of 5% increase from 1 year to the next, what we've actually received from year to year. So I put a 3.5% increase from the estimated amount in the 22-23 budget. So that's not exactly the penny amount. That's a little bit more. That's a little more conservative than 5%. So I just did 3.5.
So that's the difference between the 4,876 and the 5,045 down to the bottom?
Part of it. There's okay. some other numbers in there too, but hopefully we'll have a penny estimate pretty soon, but I don't have that yet. So then if you go to page 5, it shows a $566,000 increase in revenue from 2021 to 2022-23, and most of that's property tax and sales tax. And then there's some other lines have been decreased, some have been increased, so you can kind of look through there and see what those are. Any questions on revenue?
What did you just say, the 566, that's the estimated
very
increase?
Bottom, on the very right-hand yeah. column, $566,000 increase.
And that's based on 3%?
Well, that's just property tax and sales tax.
Okay.
That's mostly. There's some other.
But you didn't. That's the 3% you were talking about versus the 5%.
Right.
Okay.
Part of it is. Yeah. Okay. So on page 6, we start our expenditures. The first section is county commission. So this year I put a $35 a meeting. So $10 increase. I mean, it's been this way for a really long time. That includes 10 meetings plus 2 special calls, so that increases all salaries. In the county mayor's office, the $51,300, I added a full-time employee at $16 an hour, plus 2 insurance for 2 people. So that's line 161 and line 205.
So the county mayor's getting another full-time employee?
No, but whoever gets elected is probably going to hire full-time. Abby works part-time.
Oh, okay.
I'm just assuming.
Okay.
I don't know if that's going to work, so.
Smart.
Okay, so page 7. I've increased the county attorney from 40 to 50. And that's $51,400. He actually does a lot of work that he doesn't even charge us for, but since we're almost going to be at 50 this year, just went ahead and put an increase there. The election office, $51,500. Most of their increase is because of they have 2 elections. Okay. Page 8 is the register of deeds, and almost her full increase in salaries and benefits. Of course, retirement, remember that. That's increased almost everybody. Well, it's increased everybody's budget. Planning, the 51,720, we moved all of that into the LUA's budget, which is on the next page, 51,720. So now that's all in there. On page 10, under number three, 10 there, contract with other public agencies is where we hired the cleaning service. And I think we're going to do away with the cleaning service. We're going to hire part-time custodian. So I took that out and I moved it down to line 328 and put $15,000 there for a full-time. Or not, they won't be full-time, they'll be part-time. But the cleaning service is not working out. And also gasoline, line 425, increased that to $15,000 from $7,000. That might be a little much, but it's kind of hard to know.
That might not even be enough.
I know. Oh, and also on line 309, that electronic monitoring indigency fund that we did a couple years ago. I asked Jessica Duncan about that, our probation person. She said we really shouldn't even do that because we don't have enough people that participate in that. So in September, I had to go ahead and let them know that we were participating, but you can decrease it. So we did $1,500, but if you don't budget it, you can decrease it. So I thought, well, if I decrease it to $500, and the next year we'll just opt out. Y'all are okay with that?
Yeah, because nobody's using it.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah.
And I think we'll get our $1,500 back. I don't think they keep it, but I'm not sure about that. Okay. The next page, number 11, page 11. So in the finance office, like I told y'all last time, my staff didn't get a raise last year since we renewed. I didn't ask for a raise. So I did put them a raise in this year, which is about an 80 cent pay increase, so they're not getting a $4. On the federal projects line, so Andrea, I started her at the $16 an hour. Darlene was making 35. When Andrea started, she had 11 grants. She's got 23 right now with the possibility of another one this next year. So I bumped her up to 33 to get her closer to what Darlene was making, because I'm telling you, it is a lot to keep up with. The federal stuff is a lot. You probably can
I know, yeah.
vouch for that.
I did it for a while when Brenda died.
Oh, really?
You know,
okay.
Yeah.
I did decrease postage and office supplies a little bit to try to just help out with some other increases, but it's almost all salaries and benefits. Local government, of course, went up a little bit. So, and then, of course, we advertise bids in the paper, seems like almost every week. So that's why that's had to increase that by $500. That's all I can say about that. Page 12, property assessor's office. Hers is all pretty much salaries and benefits. But she did increase her postage because next year is going to be reappraisal. And so she'll have some increased costs because of that. Page 13 is the county trustee's office. Of course, it's all salaries and benefits with the exception of local governments. $1,400 increase, $1,461. And that's on line 334. Page 14 is county clerk's office. Hers is all salaries and benefits with the exception of her postage. She did increase that. Of course, you know, we had to do an amendment this year since she has to mail those plates out. So that's, we put that up to $8,000 this year. Data processing, that is our IT. And, of course, last year when Louis started, we already had the budget set, I think. I think he started after. Well, he started about the first of July, I guess. I can't even begin to tell you how much money he has saved us and how much help he has been. So I put him at 30, which is pretty cheap for an IT director. So that's all on that one. Next page is the circuit court clerk's office. She budgeted her salaries at 40 hours last year, so we decreased them back to 36 because she didn't go to 40 hours. But something I need to talk to y'all about too is, so we have some departments if the employees are working more than 36, they're getting paid for it. So I'll have a couple that are going to be over budget that we'll have to do an amendment on. Few departments are doing comp time. So we either need to budget everybody at the courthouse for 40 hours, and then make either say you have to do comp time, or we're going to have to put an overtime budget line in or something. Because I could, like, I'm just going to say I went to a CPAS training class a couple weeks ago, and they were asking how many people budget salaries to the penny. I was the only one in the room that raised my hand. So everybody over budgets that a little bit, so that, well, I guess employees, if they work more than 40, they get paid for it. Ours don't, you know, for the most part. Now, like I said, we have a few departments that are paying them. So we got to figure out some way to fix that. Because I think if we do, if we have it in our policy that you have to take comp time, you can take comp time. Now, if they quit, we got to pay them.
I hate comp time.
I love comp time. I think
it's great. I hate it. I never get to take it. So like, if I take a day off, then I get called. Can you come in and work?
Well, I mean, I realize that at some point you got to pay them, but a lot of employees do use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How much did we figure that was? That was how many hours of comp time? Can they use 200 and something? Was that right?
It was 120 for us. I don't know.
What how much can they accrue? 240.
240 is what they can accrue.
Yeah. And if they quit and they have 240 hours of comp time, we have to pay them for 240 hours of comp. So you could literally have somebody being owing them $4,000 to $6,000.
So, I mean, I don't know the answer to it, but or we can just roll on, and when there's somebody's over, we can just amend the budget. I mean, I don't, like I said, I think I only have two department heads who will have somebody over on that.
I thought Justin told me at the ambulance service they have a choice. Is that right?
Well, we
have
a choice
where they
too.
Can get paid.
We have a choice. Departments can give comp time. Department heads could do comp time.
Well, no, he has comp time, but if they choose the overtime pay, they can take that and steal the comp time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ours is not like that.
It's 911. Well, anyway, it's just something we need to think about.
Is there a justification for him working over 40 hours? I mean, is that a necessary thing?
We don't ask for justification. I mean,
do the department heads, can they justify it that they have to work over 40?
Most of the time it's
well, some of them it's probably
normal during
yeah,
tax
right.
season.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So it's not probably all the time,
no,
it's just some
no,
times of the
actually.
Year. Yeah, I understand.
That's why I'd rather just budget over a little bit and do away
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, if it's not better. All the time, you could do that.
Yeah, I mean, if you were having mm-hmm. somebody that was getting 50 hours a week on a repetitive basis, it might
right.
make more sense. But.
So anyway, keep that on your back burner there, and we'll mm-hmm. talk about it some more. But, of course, the general sessions judge, that's pretty much all salaries, and I showed y'all that memo.
Yeah, she's considered part-time, so we hadn't been paying her right, have
right.
we?
Mm-hmm. Probably for years.
Yeah.
So. Then Chancery Court Clerk, she's the one table that will be a little bit over for Teresa's work, so make sure. But I already told Dana, she knows. But she budgeted her on 38 hours a week instead of 36, but again, probably should be 40. So we'll look at that. Most of hers is also salaries. Juvenile court, that's pretty much just salaries. I think she put a 3% increase in there. The on page 17 is the judicial commissioners, and Judge Melton did not put an increase in there for them. I haven't had a chance to ask her about it. So.
Can I go back to 16 right quick? Why is the juvenile court different from the rest of the county employees not on a pay scale?
Because this goes back many, many, many years. You know, when Catherine Player was working, that was the salary, and we just didn't change it.
Okay.
But she's just part-time, too. So, so yeah, the judicial... I don't even know if Judge Mountain realized she didn't put that in there, but she didn't, so...
Let me ask you this. Is that something... Really, it would have been beneficial had she perhaps talked to both of them candidates to see what they thought, considering they're going to be the ones that's over these guys. But mm-hmm. maybe after May 3rd, we might have that person look at their budget.
Well, that's true. We could do that, yeah.
Because that'll be decided that day.
What else do
Probation, sorry.
Probation is the next one, and that, I'm handing you a sheet that shows her collections. Part of what she collects, you see in the budget, part of it goes to the circuit court clerk's office, and it goes to like the person's court case.
I'm trying.
So I just wanted you to see, she's put a 3% pay increase in here, and of course the prior director did not have insurance. The new girl does, the new director does.
Also, same question, why are we not on a pay scale with them?
Well, she's a director. I feel like she's head of that department.
Okay,
even though
so it's just her.
Anybody, yeah.
It's just her. Okay, I see. My fault.
But that just shows you what she's collected, what she thinks she'll collect through the end of June. And those program fees, that is in revenue, that shows up in revenue on page 3, under 43393, revenue code 43393. That's where you see those.
I wonder what their collections are compared to what they could be if they collect. I'm sure they have a hard time collecting on that. Right? All
that's one of them deals where somebody pays $5 a week for 60 years.
The fees are a lot higher this year than they were last year. I'm sure COVID affected that a little bit too, but they are better this year. Okay, so on page 18 is the Sheriff's Department. And so Bill and I kind of went through this, and I sent it to Jordan. In the sheriff's budget, we cut $16,930, and that was mainly, like, he had 55 budgeted for vehicles. We put that at 40 because he's only going to spend about 25 this year, it looks like. We did increase the gasoline a little bit over what he had requested, and we cut the uniforms line down and the insurance line down, which I still don't know our insurance amount yet. Hopefully I'll know that soon. On the jail side, we cut two salaries, one from the sergeant's line at 115 and one from the guard's line, just assuming that they're always going to be down two employees. They're just almost always short two, at least two people. I mean, we did that last year and
we still didn't cut enough.
We still didn't cut enough, yeah. So I feel like we're safe to do that. We did put overtime and retirement. We were taking that all out of the sheriff's budget. We were splitting it this year and putting some in jail, some in the sheriff's.
Did they have comp time too? Did they do comp time?
I don't know.
Yes.
They probably figured it out.
I remember you talking about it.
So we cut $59,604 out of this budget for a total of $76,000 out of both.
But that's still, how much was their increase, do you remember, that they asked, between the two?
No, I have to.
You don't worry about that, now you're going to make it dry.
But that's a decrease from what they asked for. I mean, that's a cut from what they asked
right.
for.
Right. It was around.
How much was the cut now?
76,534 in both funds, in both things.
I think they had asked for around $300,000.
Yeah, about 160, I think, was wrong.
Yeah.
The fire department on page, I'll put the page in there as well. It's basically the same except their communications line, they had put $1,725, but their phone bills are only about $1,250, so we put $1,300. We cut the utilities, and there's a few other line items that they might could cut, like their equipment repair, but I'm not sure on that, so I'll
Yeah. No, I'd be careful on cutting equipment repair when you got 20-year-old trucks.
And so that other equipment, $790, that $2,618 is donations, you know, they've gotten. And I put it in this year's budget to spend in case they need to spend it on a fire truck. But if they don't, we'll just roll it over to next year.
And that's which one, though?
It's the very last line, other equipment.
$790.
Yeah, that's like donations they've received. So I thought, well, in case they have to use it for a fire truck, I'll show it as being spent this year, but if not,
But is that 26, now is that not, you said it's donations, is that not where they get monies from fires they work?
That's part of that too, yeah.
But that they use that to buy stuff like generators and stuff like that that they need.
Chainsaws.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then
that's what they use it for.
The fire truck, then we'll just leave it to
them. Yeah. Because each department gets a certain portion of that according to how much their department got.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Of course, the next one is emergency management, and I was talking to Neil today. I just thought about this afternoon, but I think we're going to move his grant money out of here because it's really hard for us to keep up with it too, and put it in that Homeland Security line that we don't ever use for anything. So not that y'all care about that. It's still going to be the same dollar amount, but anyway, we'll probably change this a little bit just to make it. It's really hard to keep up with.
Was that
all that Homeland Security?
Was that that grant money? Is that not what he was asking for a salary out of? Is that
that's a grant, yeah, that EMPG grant, but that will live in here.
Okay.
But those big grants, like the $50,000 grants and stuff, we'll move those into another.
The $50,000 that he gets every year, I think, right?
He got one for 51 or something,
yeah.
I think, but I'm not sure what that was for. Page 21, medical examiner. Of course, they went to a training class this year in St. Louis, and they won't have that in the budget next year, but we still left $20,000 in there for autopsies because that fee's gone up, as it always does, it seems like. The health department's is the same as last year. The bottom one is that health department grant for the dentist, and that's the same. They're going to get the same dollar amount on that as they did last year. Page 22, at the top there, that general welfare assistance. Other contracted services, that's the money that we give to that people helping foster children, Donna Nichols. She gets that. We're going to move that into contributions, the regular contributions. Just get rid of this little budget here. The next one is the litter grant, and that's same as last year. Page 23 is the library, and her increase is all salaries and benefits. Page 24, community center is the top one. Now this one, it looks like an $8,000 increase, but it's actually not. So we subtracted $5,000 out of building maintenance, out of county buildings, $51,800, and added it here just so we kind of keep it separate on what we're spending in the community center. And then that was Neil's idea, which I thought was a good idea, because also the put utilities and keep up with how much we're spending at the ball fields. So I subtracted $3,000 from utilities and county buildings and moved it over here. So it's not really an increase.
So are you're probably going over it and I missed it. How much do we have on county building repair?
45. Let's see.
What page is that on?
We have $45,000. We had 50, so subtracted 5 and moved it over. But if we don't use it, we can always go use it. Page 24 again is the Ag Extension Office, and of course their salaries went down because the new director she don't make as much as Rose made, but the fringe benefits went up because she has the insurance, and I don't think he did.
Right. I think he was on his wife's insurance.
Yeah. So that's basically only a $1,235 increase. Veterans services, nobody really gave me a budget on that, but I put a 50-cent pay increase in there for him, just to be fair.
Is that something that we need to look at to maybe contract out?
Yeah, I think so.
And I say that just because I don't know that there's a volume for it, is there? I don't want to cut it by no means. I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying actually take the money and contract the service out.
I think it would be great if you could get somebody from another county who's already certified to do it.
And they can do two counties.
Yeah, and just do it, but... Like I said,
I guess my question is, are we getting the bang for the buck? That's what I'm actually asking.
No.
Because I still think we need to provide the service, don't y'all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we need to come up with a better solution. So.
Can y'all check into somebody?
I don't know that you...
What? Talk to Brent about it.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, if we could do that, it just needs to come back to us before we set this budget.
Yeah, before we set the budget.
Yeah.
Okay, on page 25, other charges is our insurance. I still don't know what that's going to be yet, but I've got a 5% increase in there for vehicle and building new content and workers' comp. So, kind of know what's going on with Brenna, but... Well, I've already submitted the renewal package for next year, just waiting to hear back from them. Okay, then contributions. Pretty much the same, except UCDD and UCHRA increased their rates. It's not a huge amount, but they did increase them a little bit for next year. And I didn't add these people tonight in case y'all don't heard that, so that's not including, it doesn't include that. So 269, 635 is the total for contributions.
And they were asking for 1,000, right?
They were asking for 1,000.
Child advocacy is in the right.
Mm-hmm. And then at the bottom of page 25, the increase in decrease, blank home, the total increase is 5,000 in expenditures from the approved 21-22 budget. Shows us decrease in our fund balance by 77, but in the past 5 years, on average, we've increased our fund balance by about $700,000. So I feel like we'll have at least a $500,000 increase.
Mm-hmm. That's good. The expenses are less than the revenue increases. That's good.
Start looking at cutting or approving or whatever it is we want to do.
Yeah.
There's nobody else left, is there? That's good. That's good. I think y'all actually met with most of them, hadn't you?
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day? That's good, though.
Have a little frazzled over it now.
The last 2 weeks have been very frazzled.
But that's been, still, I think it's one of the last things we've ever done as a financial management system.
That's all that I have.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
All right.